We'll call the Public Safety and Security Policy and Finance meeting to order. We'll start with the roll call.
Johnson.
Here.
Lohmer.
Here.
Hillstrom.
Here.
Beckerfin. Considine.
Here.
Dean.
Here.
Frankie. Russell.
Here.
Howe.
Present.
Lucero. Newberger.
Ready to serve.
O'Neill. Pinto.
Here.
Uglum.
Yep.
Ward.
Here.
Zerwas.
Here.
Hey. Representative Grossel, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes from April 18th?
I move we accept minutes.
Representative Grossel has moved the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Today we have House File 3296 to be referred to the General Register. We have the DE2 amendment, and the chair will move the DE2 amendment. And there is the amendment to the amendment, the A6 amendment. The chair will also move the A6 amendment. Representative Hillstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, members, I do want to talk about the A6 amendment, but I'm wondering if I should let her describe the bill first, because this is a modifier of the bill.
Representative McKeel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I was going to go through the DE2 amendment and the changes. First of all, in Section 1, there is the patients and residents' notification right to the lead investigative agency and disposition of report and appeal of rights in Section 1. And then Section 2 is addition of or modifies the duties of the OHFC by clarifying that the OHFC is required to forward complaints and reports of maltreatment to law enforcement if the complaint or the report falls within the jurisdiction of law enforcement. And also paragraph C requires that the OHFC refer the suspected criminal activity by the client, resident, or the healthcare facility or home care provider to law enforcement. That was kind of lagging and needed to be addressed right away when criminal activity was happening. Then Section 3 removes the demonstrable bodily harm from having to be present for an assault to have taken place. Then Section 4 requires the mandated reporters to make reports as soon as possible, but in no event longer than 24 hours. Section 5 requires that the common entry point to provide the method for reporter to electronic submit evidence, like photos, videos, documents, all reports must be directed to that common entry point. Then Section 6 requires the staff to be trained on how to screen and dispatch reports from a common entry point, and that the common entry point to cross-reference multiple complaints concerning the same alleged perpetrator, facility, or licensee, the same vulnerable adult, or the same incident. And then on Section 7, it will require that the common entry point to immediately notify the appropriate law enforcement agency if it determines that there is an immediate need for response by law enforcement. OHFC, OLA also required that OHFC would provide a complete and timely information about the findings that all for all parties that were involved in the investigation. Then Section 8 provides the law enforcement must obtain the results of any investigation conducted by the lead investigative agency to determine if criminal action is warranted. Secondary to this, OHSC should provide the complete and timely information about this finding to all parties involved in the investigation. That's on page 69 of the OLA report, their recommendation. And then finally, Section 9 modifies the law governing lead investigative agency notification requirements, dispositions, and determinations. The reporters would receive notice that a report had been received and provided information on the initial disposition in all cases, not just upon request. Before, you had to request that information if you wanted to know. Within 5 days of that receipt of the report, specified information must be provided to the vulnerable adult or the vulnerable adult's guardian regarding the report. It would include the nature of maltreatment allegations, name of the facility or other location where the alleged maltreatment occurred, the name of the alleged perpetrator that may be recommended or taken, contact information for the investigator, and confirmation of whether and how the lead investigative agency is investigating the matter. The lead investigative agency will provide an update on the investigation approximately every 3 weeks upon the request by the vulnerable adult. Within 10 days of completing the investigation, a copy of the public investigation memorandum must be provided to the law enforcement and the county attorney where appropriate. These are recommendations from the OLA also. And with that, I stand for questions.
Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I want to ask a question. So, under current law, we make it a crime to disclose the name of the person who mandatorily reports. It is different than under the Child Protection Statute, and there is nothing in here that changes that. Is that correct? So that at no point the name of the reporter doesn't have to be disclosed to anyone. Is that correct?
My understanding is... thank you. My understanding is that's correct, that is all to be kept confidential.
Then to my amendment.
To the A6?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Members, I strongly support taking care of vulnerable adults. I had a situation when I was 16 where my grandfather was in a nursing home, and he suffered Alzheimer's, but he was perfectly capable and able-bodied. He reverted back to the days of the trucker strike, and so every time there were law enforcement sirens, he would escape from the nursing home. He attempted to carry a billy club, and he would attempt to escape, and he acted out in some instances in a violent fashion. He was removed from multiple nursing homes and moved around because he was difficult to manage, and in many instances, they were acting in his best interest to keep him safe. So what I want to make sure happens is that we charge people with crimes who actually have criminal behavior, but that we don't charge people with crimes when they are actually restraining the person from harming themselves or others. And so I have an amendment here that basically says that when a person uses restraints on a vulnerable adult that complies with the requirements of state and federal law, and they apply a reasonable amount of force in using that restraint, that it's not a crime. There are times when you have someone who needs to be protected for their own safety, and we want to make sure that, one, our vulnerable adults have the ability to find a place to be, and that people don't just kick them out because they're hard to manage, and that we don't charge people with crimes that really don't have criminal conduct. I've been working with Representative Sirwas and Representative Keel to make certain that this language takes care of the folks that we need to take care of. This isn't a gotcha amendment, or this is an attempt to really solve a problem. This language came through nonpartisan staff, and if it's not perfect, I'm happy to continue to work to make it perfect, and I'd ask for your support.
Representative Zerwas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hilstrom, for reaching out and working with the author and myself on the language, and after seeing a few of the drafts, I'm perfectly comfortable that this language is going to exactly what you spoke to make sure that individuals that are in these settings, that are following state and federal law, in a situation where they have to use some restraint for an individual that may be a vulnerable adult, that may be confused or agitated, that we don't start charging those folks with criminal conduct. That's certainly not the intent of the underlying language dealing with the removal of demonstrable bodily harm. And so I just want to thank Representative Hellstrom for her work.
Any other discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the A6 amendments signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Any other questions on the DE2 amendment? All those in favor of the DE2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? DE2 is adopted. Any public testimony on the DE2 amendment? Any final comments, Representative Keel?
Mr. Chair and members, I thank you very much for addressing the modifications here, the changes. This has been quite a work in progress, trying to match up the OLA's report and make sure that we address these situations for our vulnerable adults, giving them some, reasonable lifestyle that they're able to make their own choices but still protect them and protect our facilities. And it's just a complicated issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Although I renew my motion to re-refer House File 3296 to the General Register. All those as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's adopted. On its way to the General Register. And with that, we will be adjourned.
Thank you.
Hopefully, the last time this year.